We're going to continue on from last week about developing our spirit. And this time we're going to take the approach that the seed is the Word of God. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 11. It says the seed is the Word of God. And that seed, God's Word, has a built-in image inside of it. It has a built-in image that God ordained, and that this seed is alive. If we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, it tells us that the Word of God is alive. It's living and active, powerful. For the Word of God, or the seed of God, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So there is an inherent power and ability in the Word of God. God put it in. And sometimes you wonder, why does it work? Why does speaking the Word work? Because God put a power in it, a supernatural power. He has filled His Word not only with power, but with wisdom and with divine insights. That's why we need our spirit to be able to access the wisdom and the divine incense as well as the power. Unfortunately, sometimes people want to take the seed or the Word and split it. We like this part of the Word, but not that part. And you'll see in a moment what I'm talking about. An example of this is found in Mark chapter 11. I hope it's familiar to us. Mark chapter 11. Starting in verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Have the faith of God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And we love that part, but it's not all of it. That's not all of it. There is another part that is in the same seed. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." So you can say it, you can believe it, but if you don't forgive, it won't work for you. Or it'll be hindered severely. It'd be like if you took a seed of some kind of vegetable and you want to plant it, but before you plant it, you smashed it with a hammer because you only want part of it. What would you get? Nothing. The result would be nothing, because the seed has to remain intact to produce the fruit or the image. That seed has an image on the inside, whether it's a potato, whether it's a carrot, whether it's the Word of God, or some portion of the Word. It has an image on it. God made His Word with an image on the inside of it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to bring that image alive within us. You know, God gave us the Holy Spirit, and He gave us precious promises. But if we don't embrace the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 14, how the Holy Spirit will interpret and He will help us to understand what it is God is saying. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 on, there is a prayer. God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. Not enough to have the knowledge. Not enough. A lot of people have the knowledge, but they don't have the revelation. And we need that. And we need that. And we get it through the Holy Spirit. And we see images. For example, in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. I believe that's where there's a young man is being brought out in a coffin. Let me make sure that's correct. It is? Okay. So, think of dead young man inside coffin. What do you see? What do you see? Do you see words or do you see a young man dead in a coffin? We see the person because we see in pictures. We see in pictures. Think of dog. If you have a dog, you're thinking of your own. Think of a red dog with pointy ears and a blue nose. I doubt anyone has one like that. We tend to think in images. Not in words. And the word, see, the word of God is a seed that has an image in it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, God wants to get that image, the image of that seed planted inside your spirit. That's why as James chapter 1 verse 21, which says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. It's an implanted word. You think of a crippled man in a wheelchair and think of him jumping uphill, running. These are all images. They're all images. And the seed of God's word, planted and watered properly, will in due course, it will produce the image of that implanted seed. If we cooperate. Now it takes a bit of time for that to happen. Just like the farmer doesn't plant tonight and come looking for it tomorrow or next week. Often it takes months. Well, the same thing with the Word of God. It has to be planted, and it has to be planted in its entirety. Properly. Properly. That means we can't pick and choose the parts that we like and ignore the other parts. It won't work. It will not work. Sometimes we think, well, I like this part of the verse, but I don't like the other. God wants us to embrace the whole seed. And then it needs time to ferment inside of your spirit. It's got to mature. The seed has to mature. And it takes time for that to happen. It takes effort for that to happen. You can't harvest it the next day. The maturation is a process. And God tells us that in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, verses 28. So, first the blade, then the head. Then after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, it's ready. But it takes time to get through that process. That's why the image of it, of the word of the Lord, it takes time for it to mature within us. You know, the first is the blade, the thought we're reading. This is, God wants me well. God wants me well. God wants me well. I want to be well too. My attitude has to be in agreement with what God is saying. And I start to soak in that verse, whichever one it is, that says God is going to heal me. God is my healer. And the revelation of that starts to change my attitude. There's a change that's going on. That word, that living word, is now working inside of you, changing you, changing your thinking and your attitudes. That's what it's doing. And the living word is producing an image inside your spirit. It's producing an image. That's why your spirit's got to be involved. It has to be involved. You can't do this in your mind. It won't work. You can't do this in your soul. Your spirit must be involved. And that image has to be nurtured. Has to be cared for. Because the enemy comes and he looks to snatch it away from you. He doesn't want you to have anything from God, especially healing. He wants us to live in torment. But we stay with it. We soak in it. We soak in it. We pray over it. We ask God to help us. That's why there's prayers in Ephesians that says, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of your word. Open the eyes of my understanding, O God, that I may see. That I may see. Who's praying that? Who's praying that? Paul. Now, if Paul's got to pray that, do you understand where that leaves us? If Paul had to pray this for himself, we can't do less. We can't do less. That seed has to come to a place of maturity. Maturity. And we ask the Holy Spirit. It's not wrong to ask the Holy Spirit. That's the way God ordained for things to be. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to ask the Spirit of God. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, or one of. Where it says here, the Holy Spirit, it says, God has revealed the things that He's prepared for us through His Spirit. His Spirit to our spirit. And the Holy Spirit then, His role is interpreting, revealing, and then communicating spiritual truth to us, spirit to spirit. But if your spirit's asleep or dull or inattended to, we're not going to get much out of it. It takes work to do this. God has designed His word such that we must involve the Holy Spirit in the process of divine revelation of His word. Do you hear what I said? God did this. God has designed His word so that we must involve the Holy Spirit to help us. That's how He's made it. And so if we don't ask Him, we're always going to end up shortchanged. And the Holy Spirit, one of the roles that He has is to mature this image, bring it to fruition within us. He is the special ingredient that we bring to this recipe of understanding, because He knows everything. That's why you can study the Word of God, you can memorize it, and not experience any of the life flow of God. And yet still know all kinds of word. Because without the Holy Spirit, the words can be just words. Just words. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they are life." Because His words are spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate the life that is hidden, if you will, within the Word, to bring it to life for us, to let us understand spiritually what God is wanting to impart. Because the Holy Spirit reveals the hidden wisdom of God's Word to your spirit, not to your mind. He reveals it to your spirit. And so it is critically important, critically, that our spirit learn to relate to God. Learn. How do you do that? You do it by practice. By practice. By spending time with Him. By relating to God. In your spirit, waiting upon God. Because we can't go to God and say, I want to know about the Spirit, you got 10 minutes. That's not going to work. God will not be pushed, and He's not in a hurry. Bible meditation is essential to watering the seed and enabling that seed to become an image inside of us. And we have to keep it as it is, not separate it, not just take portions that we like, but understand there's a context to things in the Word of God. God does not want you and I to experience His Word apart from Him. Amen. He doesn't. He wants to actively participate in each of our lives on a daily basis. Because He loves us. He's a hands-on God. That's why His Word without God is only information. Just information. And it could be very frustrating information at times. But when the Holy Spirit is brought into the mix, so to speak, then the Word becomes living and powerful inside of us. And that's a wonderful thing. And we want the Holy Spirit to guide us in the things of God. We need that. We desire that. And God desires it. So we're all on the same page with this. But in day-to-day life, there's intrusions. Things happen. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things just happen. And that's why we've got to stay connected to God. Without a leading of the Spirit of God, we're just left with the circumstances, looking at them and saying, what do they mean? What do they mean? But when the Spirit of God speaks to us, then the circumstances really become irrelevant. Because God has complete dominance over circumstances. Now, He may not always do things the way we would like Him to. I mean, most of us would like God to attend to our desires immediately, completely, with minimal effort. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
That's what we'd like. But it doesn't often happen that way. In fact, rarely. It may happen that way initially, just because, you know, we're babies and God is helping us out and being kind. But as you mature, the expectation is that you're going to grow. You're going to grow. And God wants that for us because He's got plans. He's got plans for every single person here. Every person, there's plans. And His Holy Spirit is an integral part of those plans. There are many things that will never happen unless we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And in order to cooperate, we got to be able to hear His voice. And that's a learned art. You understand? We're not born able to just hear God. It's a learned art. And it's learned by being in His presence and by practicing listening to the Spirit of God and by obedience. Because if God has spoken to us 3-4 times and we didn't do what he said, he's not going to keep speaking to us. Would you? No. If someone consistently didn't listen to you, would you keep speaking to them? No. That's why it's important for us to develop a listening ear. Just like a newborn mother can hear their child. There could be 50 kids crying, but they know theirs. Well, we need to hear our Holy Spirit speaking to us.
Yes.
And that comes from practice and perseverance and obedience. Obedience.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So, Lord, help us to have a listening ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Help us, O God, to have an obedient heart to the things that you speak to us. We want to communicate with you, Lord. We want to. So I'm asking for all of us here, Lord, for all of us, to help us, please. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to develop a sensitive heart, a sensitive spirit to hear the voice of our God. And help us to develop equally an obedient heart. Amen. Amen.